Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast. Facilities Committee Meeting. Part 1 of 2 Parts. January 5, 2016.
7:01. Call this meeting to order. Good evening, everyone, and happy 2016. We hope everyone had a good holiday and ready to work again. First item on the agenda is roll call. We'll start at this end of the table.
Here.
Joel. Name.
Joel Fishbein. Here.
Amy Williams.
Bill England.
Dave Rackow.
David Cummings.
Stephanie Gray.
Napoleon Nelson.
Brian Malloy.
Okay, thank you. No, missing Julie Hayward.
Miss Hayward is in transport right now. The trains evidently are not running.
Next item on the agenda, approval of minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Comment, discussion? So moved. And we'll open it up to Dr. Bobby, who will give us an update on the Cedarbrook Asbestos Abatement Project.
Yes, Cedarbrook Middle School Environmental Project. I think it's just dark and large. We did remove all the asbestos and also a PCB around the windows. We had all those windows, we had a PCBs, and that work was 100% completed. And also we did put the plywood, these are from inside, we blocked it for several reasons. One is to actually nobody get into, and two, to cover the additional work that it could happen in the future if somebody get in. This material, I don't know if all the board members in here, we were talking about the between the walls, the cavity wall, there are two walls, and this is the material they used it back in 40 years ago for insulating the wall. And what happened was, I assumed that was asbestos. I didn't know it had to be tested. So we got lucky pretty much. It wasn't asbestos. We ended up saving over $200,000. Then, as you could see above that, is a little, it was a PCB there. We had to saw cut the wall. And when we opened some of these walls, and we find out that this material is supposed to go all the way to the roof line, but it wasn't. They just put it in almost like a foot or 2 feet. So they really never, the building never been insulated properly. So we wasted a lot of money on energy all those years. But that's something that we just find out maybe like 3 weeks ago.
I'm sorry, is that vermiculite or what is it?
And I showed some pictures and last, these are the new pictures. You can see there's a lot of flashing and counter flashing. Material, felt material that was all around the perimeter of the roof. So that's all, our roof is open now, so all that rain we had is all came in. But we did the entire, that work is complete. All around the heavy equipment that we have on the roof, that was all asbestos material. We had to take the section of the roof up to get into the felt material. That's all been done. Around all the exhaust system or any system that we had with all asbestos material, all that's been completed 100%. This is a picture of the classroom. Again, we removed the asbestos from the blackboard was there, or green board was there, and also we blocked and removed the PVC. We had to remove some of the cabinets and all that to get into that area. That's 100%. And the floor tile was all removed. Some of the floor tile and mastic was asbestos, and some of them weren't asbestos, so we were able to test them as we also cut some money and that during the construction part of that.
Did they have to take the countertops out of there? Were they also
countertop, all that, asbestos. Okay. They've all been removed.
Yep.
All that, all the science labs, countertop with all asbestos. And then we also have some challenges from actually this building being closed over a year now, and we're taking a lot of steps to make sure that that the best we can. We had a problem with the Cheltenham Elementary. We had a couple of kids getting there, set the building on fire. we have constantly, we had a problem with that. So in this building, we're doing a lot of work. We remove combustible material. We have four or five, I think, a dumpster that we dump all kind of the wood material that were there. And then later on, I went down and checked it, and I find out somebody else, our dumpster was a half full, somebody else pulled it out for us. So those are stuff that usually happen in construction site. Mm-hmm. They come in and they dump illegally. And we secure all the doors. We actually put a metal bracket on all the exterior doors, over 60-some doors, and we screwed it to the metal to make sure that nobody can open it from inside and out. So we just left one door open for fire department, which is all this was approved by fire marshal. We plywood all everywhere, pretty much all the whole building, except a couple areas I show you. We report all illegal dumping to the police department. We did it in three times, and I reported to our police again last week. Continue cleaning after any dumping anybody does. We install and repair all the lights. A lot of times they go there and damage the light fixture because they want to make it dark. So we go back there again, and we're constantly doing that. I'll patrol the building every day. I go there by myself. I go in different hours. When I make my round, I just go around the whole building, and anything I see, I do that. We hire security company for 3 nights only, just at night. We'll be there Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. We pay $300 for that shift just on night, and we spend about $43,200 up today. And by a lot of work that we did, and we took some risk, we didn't hire the around-the-clock security. So it would cost us $218,400. We tried to save some money from Ms. Michael to get some later on.
He appreciates that.
So these are some of the dumping that we did with the dumping. We clean it, and our grounds guys will go there all the time. And these are the areas that I have to go by plywood. This is all by a cafeteria area. Above that awning is all copper. Again, 2 years ago, we had somebody came and stole all the copper. It cost us $260,000 twice. And then that person went to the high school and did it. So it's a lot of challenge when the building is empty to just get it going constantly to make sure everything gets done properly. This is the only areas, those are the two areas we actually purchasing the material to cover that area.
So what happened? Plywood across all those windows.
All the windows now, we're at, say, 95% is all plywood from inside and outside. And those are the two areas as soon as I get the plywood, we're going to go there. And this is all the work to be done by our guys, our maintenance people do that. Well, the summary is the total construction abatement was the Sargent Enterprise, $464,800. We did not pay a dime for that yet because I need to get all my closeout document before I give them the final, but the work is 100% complete. I need to get a lot of forms and study needs to come to me. And Langen Environment, they did all the testing, and that's 100% they complete their work, except to give me a final report, which is you have to send to the state. And total cost of the project was $507,300. This project was completed on time and within budget, and we did not have any change order.
Can I ask a question about the copper? Is that staying? I mean, what is going to happen with that down the road?
I'm going to bring my truck and try to figure out how they're getting away with it.
Okay, make sure it's a Sunday.
At the high school, I don't know if you remember when we did all the piping system. We had over 5 miles of the pipe. They were all copper. We put in a specification that the contractor is responsible to remove all the copper and give it to us, and which is they did. And then later on, I was in the business of selling copper. I sold it back to them for $21,000 credit. I got that. So we're going to do the same thing here. We're going to say, I think we already did that. We put all the copper is responsible to the contractor. We move and give it to us, to the owner. And then we have to figure out what we're going to do with it. And if they come up with a change order or something, we add additional work that wasn't in the specification. If we have a little bit of money, then we just go back. All those willing dealing would come to the board.
Mm-hmm. Well, how are we securing it before the
Responsible contractor. They put all these copper that they took out the high school, they put it in the storage box and they locked it.
I mean, while it's still up.
Oh, that right now?
Yeah.
It's vulnerable.
Again, those are the steps that we took. We could go back and hire somebody, but it's going to cost us a lot more money than what we're spending now. I think we're okay now. We could take them all out, or our guys could take them out and save them.
Yeah, when are they supposed to, when are they supposed to be removing it?
Oh, when the demolition starts.
Oh, not so bad.
That would be part of the construction document.
It'd be costly to pay somebody to come in there now and just remove that and not do anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it would be, I wouldn't go hire outside contractors to do it. We would remove all those. We could remove them. I'll take a look at it, see if it's worth it. Between our hours versus how much copper we're talking about. Or if I wait a little bit longer, the contractor's going to do it anyway for me. I'll take a look at it.
Board questions?
There was, you mentioned the material that you thought might be asbestos but wasn't in between the walls, that we saved money.
We did pick that up before the bidding. When I budgeted asbestos project at $900,000, and there was a lot of questions why the number is so high and why the bid came in. So I just add that for one of our board members, she's no longer here. I wish she'd watch this, that's what's going to happen.
So the original bid was higher?
We didn't bid it. We estimated at the project at $900,000 and it came at $500,000.
And the $500,000 didn't take that into account?
No.
Got it.
The security company, these numbers are for security for the building prior to being demolished.
Right.
So in a 6 months or less, it's going to be demolished?
Yeah.
4 months?
Good question. We have the next presentation.
The reason I'm asking is because there's an annual, it's annual this year. And so the question is, once it's demolished, you don't have that particular security issue, but you have security issue for the construction site.
Right, that would be, which is we had with the Cheltenham. We hired the same company to come at night, I think it was every night, at 7 nights, to do patrol and have the lights on.
So the real annual cost from that for security is probably more than the cost.
All that, even the first job meeting that we have with the contractor, we're going to start evaluating, how much material, how much tools, and how much equipment they're going to bring to the site. Is it worth it for us to pay it? It would be $600 a day and night. It would be for 24 hours, it would be $600. Is it worth it or should we wait? I usually, I take my time. I don't go there and hire them right away. I want to see what else is going on.
But that security detail would be 7 days a week.
If I need it, I'll put 7 days a week. Right now, by doing 3 nights, I kind of have to stop a lot of it. And also, I'm getting help a lot from our township police department. They're all patrolling twice, one during the day and one at night.
Okay.
Related to that, you said they're coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or Saturday, Sunday,
at night,
Monday?
Friday night, Saturday.
Are we able to vary that so it's not so predictable?
Well, those are the nights we usually had a problem.
And so those days were picked because the thefts happened on those particular, on that window.
And we're doing good since.
I
have this quite a bit now.
Any other board questions? Questions from the public?
Yes, Eric Jones from Wayne Cole Resident. Dr. Bobby, I'd like to know, I know you spoke about the copper, but what about the aluminum? And what way is that going to be done, even though the actual contractor is taking the copper and locking it up? How do we know how much a tonnage, or how do we know exactly how many footage he's taking out of the building to actually know what type of material he's taking, whether it's copper or aluminum?
That's what would be part of our construction manager. We have two construction managers on site that they're going to monitor all that work for us.
Okay, has he given us anything in writing in regards to how much of tonnage has been taken out so far?
No, we don't, we're not even there yet.
Nothing's been taken out yet.
No.
Any other board questions? Item on the agenda is the update on the project itself.
Yes, I did ask our firm of construction to come and talk about their schedule. And I have Bill here. Can you introduce your team? Thank you.
You want us to sit up there?
Yeah, sit up here, please.
Good evening, I'm Bill Swanson. I'm project executive for Turner Construction Company, and I have Jim Best with us. He's our one of our chief estimators for Turner Construction Company out of the Philadelphia business unit.
It's a pleasure being here. Good evening.
Do you want me to start?
Thank you.
Do we have a PowerPoint or is there anything?
So as far as the estimate goes, we need to bring a PowerPoint. I did print out a kind of a cheat sheet so you don't have to take copious notes. You can just check something if it interests you. So what we wanted to do is just discuss the current estimate. If you can copy. Overall,
yes.
So just to make some broad general statements about it, you know, it is an estimate. It's an estimate of the 90% documents. There still is some. Everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
And there's still some scope and flux at 90%. The overall increase of the estimate of about 1.4 million represents, we're going through and analyzing it. About $3 million of ads, balanced by about $1.6 million of deducts. And so what I'm saying by ads and deducts, we're talking about as the design develops, as the design is completed, pipe sizes or air handling units get larger or smaller as the engineers go back and forth with specific details. And so the design, when we say design development, we're not talking about the architect going astray from the plan, but just completing the design. And so there's ups and downs. In addition to that, there are some scope changes that occur. So if somebody says, well, you know, the construction contract should include audio visual, that's an example of a scope change. So what I wanted to do is just discuss what some of those items were. Our opinion, just as looking at it, this is what it's going to take to bring the school up to code, to replace materials that need to be replaced. It's not our position that these ads are unnecessary ads, but of course it's your decision, the architect's decision, ultimately what the scope of the project is. So examples of increases due to design development. Skip the point I just made. Well,
can I interrupt you for 1 minute? Mm-hmm. Would it be possible for you to just give everyone in the board and particularly the public, just go back and just overall and walk through the estimate in terms of the numbers and before you see things, rough the timeline and estimate of the timeline before you get into
The details.
You know, the details.
Okay. The overall estimate or the overall where we started back in schematic design. In other words, would you like a historical recap?
Well, I think you kind of go to where we are now with the 90% CDs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we mean, first of all, what do we mean by 90% CDs? CDs are construction documents. And in order for estimates to come together in time for the project to go out to bid, it's typical for a construction manager to estimate the documents at 90% instead of 100%. Otherwise, now we're in the critical path. So so that means that last 10% of coordinating the documents may mean that there's certain assumptions, et cetera, that we have to make, or certain things that may be changed after the estimate is complete. So I don't know if you have a copy of the estimate with you. We did send out this summary And basically what it shows is this is broken down by the basic building systems. So as opposed to trade. So what we're saying is, what is the exterior wall costing? What is the roofing costing? As opposed to saying what masonry is costing as a trade. So the idea there is that it allows us to compare one estimate with another, because your exterior wall may be done by different trades. So we have the systems listed here. We have a total for the whole project here. And then we have columns for the renovation in each of the additions. So, let's see, what else is pertinent to mention? Well, the additions being the gym addition, the classroom addition.
And everyone may not have a copy of it, so maybe help them just to do some of the numbers, but
okay.
Relevant.
The media center is an infill where the courtyard currently is. The auxiliary gym and orchestra is actually in the footprint of the existing building, but according to the state, if you completely demolish an area of a building, including the footings, slab, everything, it's still considered an addition. It's just a quirk of Pennsylvania, basically, the way they look at it. Whereas most of the building is having the entire roof deck taken off, not just the roofing, but the deck. You're going to see sky. They'll have framing. About half of the floor slabs are going to be taken up, and that's still considered a renovation. But that includes a lot more new work than your typical renovation. Your typical renovation is going to leave the entire structure in place. You'll still have a roof deck over. You will not see sky. You'll have a floor, and you just go in there and kind of take the interiors out. But we're also taking the entire exterior wall out. All this goes back to the mold issues, the moisture issues, and all that. So this is definitely going to be a more expensive renovation than another project you would compare to. When I talk direct cost, what I'm talking about is the cost that we're going to supervise, the trades, the total bids. Book is coming in at $46.9 million. In addition to that, there's $5.7 million of what we call project costs. Some people call them soft costs, but that's everything from contingency to the architect's fees, construction management fees, legal, finance, permits.
So why don't you how we get to that, starting with these categories of how you broke down your estimate, going by cost, and then giving the square foot cost per area.
Okay.
When you add all these up, you get to that number, correct?
That's correct. So the $46 million represents about $260 a square foot. The first thing you would do if you want to know what is my building cost, you're going to subtract the site work from that, about 27. So now you're at about $233 or so dollars a square foot. What that represents includes a range of costs from, say, $220-some a square foot for the renovations up to about $300 a square foot for the media center infill. Some of these costs kind of get skewed, so if you imagine the media center, it seems pretty simple, but it's taking the entire cost of the library system and dividing that over not a great deal of square footage. What we found when we compared this estimate to the previous estimate, it appeared that all the additions came in a little bit under budget when you take them all together, and the renovation came in a little bit over budget. We don't think that necessarily has special significance. We think that all the adds and deducts are kind of even over the whole building. But as you design a job, let me back up. When a job is very schematic and somebody says, I need an auditorium addition or a gym addition, then you're going to look back at historical costs and see what we built gyms for before, and you're going to have the mechanical and electrical costs in that conceptual or schematic estimate of that gym addition. later on when it gets designed, and the boiler for that gym addition is in the renovation area, or maybe the air handler is on the roof of the renovation, some of the costs tend to centralize. And that's what we think has happened here, is that a little bit of that, some percentage of that mechanical and electrical system ended up in the renovation. And you don't try to keep track of it. You can't have half a boiler, you know, two-thirds of a boiler. It's part of that renovation cost, and so that's where we are on that. Trying to think what else.
So just looking what the renovation costs are per square foot, the gym addition, classroom addition.
Okay, well.
So like, you can get to that number.
Okay. I don't want to be tedious, so stop me. If this sound seems like it might get tedious, are you saying talk about demolition?
So this cost of $46,800,000 mm-hmm. is made up of renovations, right? At $28,900,000,
oh, okay. $223,000. Okay, so you want to know what the big chunks are.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, in the big chunks. Okay.
So, as he said, $29 million for the renovations. The gym addition is coming in at about $5,350,000. The classroom addition, which was necessitated, if you want to call it that, by renovating the auditorium in place instead of doing the addition. Now we have to find another place to build those classrooms. That came in at about $3,828,000. The media center is about $2,332,000. The auxiliary gym and orchestra addition is about $1,585,000. The site work is $4,846,000. So, and that site work in this estimate does not include the field work. Those are still at alternates. The estimate includes, you know, estimates those areas and then takes them back out. So in the estimate, even though you see the detail, it's zeroed out in the next paragraph. So in other words, those important alternates, which were just kind of intrinsic to estimating that entire site design, they have been estimated and they are, you know, documented in the estimate detail. The $27 a square foot for site work is really not surprising for for a complete site project as measured by the gross square footage of the school. That is, if all you had to do was like restripe a couple places and re-landscape, you're easily going to spend five. So around 27, we see prices up, by gross square foot of building, up to $30-$35. We're not saying it's an inexpensive site. If you added the fields, you'd probably be at that $30-$35 mark. Are there any questions for?
So you have a total, so you're looking at the total construction and the project cost is what? What numbers are you looking at?
Our estimate is $52,600,000, counting those soft costs, the project costs. So we're aware that this is a little bit over budget. The estimate's the estimate. I mean, our job is to be objective so that everybody can make intelligent decisions around it. Our estimate it would be a miracle if the bid was exactly our estimate. You know, there's a plus and a minus there. I can make the point that this is an estimate of 90% documents without going out for subcontractor numbers. So that would be a typical scenario for school consulting. If this was a regular general contracting job that we were at risk on, or not minimizing everybody's at risk, it's all our money, I live in the township as well, but I'm just saying this was a normal job where we were gonna hold the subcontracts, by now we would have subcontract budgets. And so this pile of specs like this and drawings like that, those subcontractors would have gone out to the tile supplier, the roofing supplier, and they would get current quotes on all those different materials and put it together into a budget, then our biggest question would be, how much is the sub, you know, cushion in this budget for later? But so this is an in-house estimate, all Turner people. So there's, you know, going to be a, call it plus or minus 5%
margin of error.
Now, what we do, and I mentioned on this handout, that we're always doing our best to represent everything we know about market conditions. So if we said 3 months ago something cost X per square foot, and we learned something different, we're going to change it. We're not going to just stick to it because that's what we said 3 months ago. So there's this little bit of fluctuation in the estimate where, for instance, we have a schedule of values for a completed project, Wing Cove Elementary School. Many things about that, for instance, the roof is the same spec. We have an estimate of the roof. We have a schedule of values from the GC for the roof. So we can look at that, and we did it, and say, oh, I think we could adjust our estimate down for the roof. Maybe we look at masonry and we think brick needs to go up a little bit. So we keep doing that. There's no sense just sticking with something because he said it 3 months ago.
And when the Wing Cove numbers came in with the prime contractors, I believe we were within 1% of where that job came out with our estimate. And that was, I think, about a $19 or $20 million estimate. So
we can't guarantee that the bids will come in above or below, like we're saying there's a five, but we're more used to being a percent or two high than anything. We like to be the second bidder. If you want to, you know, we like to be a little bit, not that the whole budget comes, bid comes in over budget, but we, you know, we don't necessarily want to be in the middle of that pack, because you've seen bid spreads. Sometimes there's quite a spread.
Why is there a spread?
Well, see, that's the thing, that like, that even when you go out to subcontractors, and every one of those contractors is going out for material quotes, and they're really putting a lot of thought into what their labor is going to be, et cetera, and then those prices all go to the GCs and they put them together, you still have a spread of 20% sometimes.
And it's a couple factors,
yeah.
Right? You know, one could be that a contractor is very hungry and needs to work. Could be that a contractor missed something big, and that's why he's so low. The reason that a contractor could be high is he's busy, but he wants to stay part of the bidder's market, so he's just going to throw a number at it, knowing that he's high, and if he gets it, hey, more cushion for him. But so we like to think that we fall pretty much in the middle, if not closer to the legitimate, the right number for that project.
So if one bidder shows up, we're probably going to be low, because that's going to be the guy that said, I'll just throw a number out, and if nobody else shows up. That doesn't happen very often. It has happened to schools, but it's unlikely to happen here. There's going to be a feeding frenzy, I think, for this project. You're going to have plenty of bidders.
I think the numbers that were provided to us were slightly different than some of the numbers you just rattled off. Not sure why, but other than that, maybe we'll just open it up at this point to some questions, kind of go around the table.
I can't answer that.
Okay, well, yeah.
Yeah, so just like I said, you know, we hate to, if we know something, we want to reflect it. So here we are. You know, this represents another edit as of yesterday.
Yeah.
So Brian and I will exchange emails, and I'll see something that makes me wonder, hey, should I have had those reflective clouds in the auditorium? So I asked Brian, he says, oh no, it's gypsum now. It's a hard ceiling. Well, there's a drawing that showed this, and there's a drawing, but that's because 90% documents, they're still coordinating, and they're still deciding in some issues. So anything that we now knew yesterday, we put in this estimate.
Which is good, because your number is a little lower than
a little bit lower.
So, yeah, so you can keep moving in that direction, that's good.
We should do another one? Yeah.
Where else
yeah.
do we have
collateral?
Yeah. Yeah. Clouds are expensive.
So, want to open up to questions at this point, and, Mr. Rackow?
I have a couple questions.
I'm sorry. Hold on one second. I apologize because I had you kind of go to this when you were in the middle of this. Do you want to go back to this before
Would you like to hear about some of the things that went up and down? Is that, I don't want to...
Well, actually, it was going to be one of my questions, okay. So maybe the whole board would like to hear.
Okay. So, this isn't... If it was a complete list, it would be many pages. We get it down to a lot of like real little stuff. These are pretty big chunks. But so in the renovation area, our first estimate and the first design, including just getting rid of all the slabs. So it was the site, but we were over budget. So we looked and did different studies. What if we kept all the slabs we could possibly keep? So then we came up with a quantity. Rip up the slabs at the cafeteria, the toilet rooms, et cetera, et cetera. The current design has about twice the slab removal as when we, did our, final DD estimate. It's what it needs to be. We're not second guessing it. It needs to be, and so that went up, and that might represent around $135,000, though.
So you just found out that a certain number of the slabs were shot and they had to go.
Either they're shot or the extent of piping, was so much that it would be like so many different trenches that just tell the contractors to take it out.
Take the slab out.
Yeah, and don't wait for a change order. Just go ahead and mark up the drawings. There were a few areas of elevated slab, in other words, second and third floors, that for one reason or another, the structural engineer decided that they maybe... Maybe it used to be a classroom and now it's a corridor, so maybe it wasn't, the floor wasn't strong enough for the loading that it needed. So there's sections of slab on deck that are being taken out and being replaced as well. But that's what we're calling design develop. Okay. You couldn't have known that as schematics, but here we are at construction documents. It's months later.
Okay, thank you.
So another example, very clear cut, a greater number of geothermal wells are required. So our first estimate was 149 wells would handle the capacity of the loads needed, the heating cooling loads, and now there's 210. So sometime maybe a couple months ago it had gone up to 240, now it's back down to 210. But that's an add of about $385,000. So again, it is what it is. The number of wells is determined by not just the load of the building, but testing of what the soil and the groundwater is going to do for you. So further testing, further design. The other thing that came up in November, the geotechnical engineer issued their report. So in that report, with all the borings that they did, they found that there was a layer of soil from 0 to 26 foot thick. They're calling it historical fill. What that means is somebody some years ago, before this school was built, came in and leveled this site, but they did it without tightly controlling the soils they used. There's tree stumps and all kinds of things in there that can deteriorate rot, and then create, and so you can't build a building on that.
You can't compact it.
You can't compact it. So we have to do what they call undercutting or removal and replacement. So wherever you have an addition that has that material, you have to keep digging, get rid of that stuff, keep digging till you get down to the good stuff, and then bring structural soils back. In the classroom, so that takes place in the gym addition and the classroom addition. At the classroom addition, that undercut is also going lower than the existing footings. So now we have to underpin, meaning pour foundation walls underneath the existing classroom building so that doesn't tend to fall into the hole that we're creating. So all that's an expense, and I guess I should mention in addition, where you have paving areas, you don't have to dig it all out. but you've got to dig an extra 2 feet out. So you can bring stone in and put, we call it geotextile fabric, something that gives you tensile strength so that that pavement doesn't develop potholes and sags and whatever. So again, that's almost $500,000. Nobody knew about until the
geotechnical report came out. And that's tough to estimate, because the geotechnical report doesn't know every square inch of what's underneath the soil. So we take our best guess from reading it, and based on our experience, we put an estimate to how much cubic yardage we think we're going to have to replace and dig up and provide underpinning for. It could be less when that contractor starts to open it up. It could be more.
And the bid will be set up, I believe, the last bid form I saw, instead of paying for a condition that's paying for something worse than what it is, the bid form is just stipulating, tell us what you want per cubic yard for this undercutting, and include 10,000 cubic yards in your bid. So then when it's 8,000, you get that credit back for the 2,000 that you didn't need. The paving area is difficult to estimate because it says the north lot, but the problem is the boring stop then. They don't go all the way to the north end of the lot. So you don't really, so there again, the bid form will say include so many cubic yards at such and such a unit price, and then you'll get that credit back. It's kind of a conservative number, so it's more likely to be a credit.
But it's a way to define the scope.
Yeah.
So in this way, everybody's bidding to the same scope.
Rock, things underpinning, they're all material allowances in the bid. So, the next item, it says adding back air terminal units. Some people, another name for these are B&B boxes. They're the boxes that are above the ceilings that regulate the amount of hot or cold air you're getting. So the idea when in schematics and DD was to reduce costs by zoning and not using the quantity of air terminal units that we now have. The engineer was not able to fit the ductwork in the corridor ceilings to allow that to happen. So these, beyond that, I don't know, but they're back. And so that's about 100,000. Condenser water, it's the chilled water that goes to these units. There's more pipe as a result. It's not just going to one central air handler. Lighting controls, fully specified controls, including apparently a decision to only allow one control company to do a bid on the job. And I didn't look that up to see what that company is, but right now we have a sole source control. You know what that is?
Sanitary.
Okay. So anyway, enough of those. So those are examples of increases due to design development. I'll speed up a little bit here, but examples of added scopes. We're now carrying the entire audiovisual system in our estimate. So our previous estimate included just conduits, and then oftentimes audiovisual would be part of those soft costs, something that the owner buys at the last minute. So right now, somewhere there was a decision for that to be constructed. So now we have it. The consultant we got an estimate from a consultant, $220,000. We're carrying that full value. The same thing for smart boards and the projection systems that go with the smart boards. We decided that would be constructed, so we have those. So those two items, $220,000 and $237,000. So there's another $500,000. Now, balancing that, if that's all there was, would be $3 million higher. But balancing that, when you actually get down to design casework, our estimate came down $200,000. If you're just looking at schematic plans, everything looks like base counter and wall cabinet, but when you get down to actually drawing it, a lot of times it isn't wall cabinet. There's way less wall, you know, so that's just an example where the landscaping is detailed. You know, there's actual planting shown, so that came down to 100,000. More information on the air handling units and other mechanical heating equipment, that was about a half a million, and so on. So, but those are the kind of things that we're looking at. I mentioned, it's not on this list, but I mentioned, you know, we looked at the roofing. So we had an estimate from a union roofer for this Garland system that's specified. We did reach out because we were, you know, it's a very expensive system. We wanted to have a read on that. But when we look at the Winco schedule of values, we see that it was actually done by a prevailing wage, probably open shop contract with a little bit different rules or whatever for less money. That was significant. You know, that, that saved quite a bit of money. Any other?
One of the things that you said, and we had this this discussion a couple times before, this estimate does not include improvements we were looking at to the fields.
Right.
So if nothing else is done, nothing else is added, what we will have is the new building and the fields exactly as they are now. Is that
correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And have we gotten a number? I know there was a number for just the football field, I believe.
There were numbers for the track.
$1 million. Was that what I was looking for? There are a number of fields. I mean, the track is the track around football field, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
And but there are several other fields.
Right, the track, the fields, and the courts are less than $1 million.
Do you have numbers for that?
So we have estimates for the tennis area, the track area, with the field in the center,
football.
And the two other fields, the
baseball field. So if we put all of the fields together to do what we would like to do, mm-hmm. what on top of this, what's the number? Do you know what that is?
I think
have irrigation in that.
I don't have irrigation in that. And I did see that you asked about that. So
these were the numbers one
yeah.
The DDS.
Yeah. So and I do have individual numbers. I can look up the numbers, or I can follow up with an email or something like that to tell
well,
you.
Well, just to give just they may not be exactly at these numbers, but they're pretty close. The the baseball field was.
I think this email. I think this is
200.
Are those numbers different than what we have in the sheet there?
No, they're pretty close. 1639. No, they're pretty close.
Well, if you bear with me.
Sure, they'll still change a little bit. Is it still $1 million?
Yeah, I mean, roughly $1 million.
Just roll with that.
Between that, we had had bleachers and benches for $139,000.
You're talking about the baseball field then?
All of the bleachers and benches everywhere. The added work for the softball field was $162,000. The running track was $350,000. Additional athletic and maintenance storage buildings was $210,000. All said and done, it came up to almost $900,000.
Yeah, so those numbers are similar.
So about $900,000 on top of the football field and track.
And
that includes the track.
It's all in there.
The one has the irrigation of all the fields.
Okay, so remediation of all the fields is close to $1 million.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that on a particular page in the larger estimate?
Yes, page 67.
Thank you.
And you know, we could discuss, and I think that's a case where I probably would reach out to an irrigation company. You know, because
we still have that really pump room and all that.
Yeah, pump room, and but then I guess there's different ways to do a field water cannon.
We were interested in water. We already have it.
What is the guesstimate of the irrigation? So we have close to $900,000 for the fields, the track, and we're still, and I know that's a fluid number.
Is it just the fields you want to irrigate? I'm sorry for that.
Yes.
Okay. So, and it's track, softball, and baseball. It's just the three fields.
It's five fields.
Football.
Five fields. We have football, we have two baseballs, and soccer. Two soccer.
Yeah.
Five fields.
Are the two soccers kind of the extension of the two baseball?
Yeah.
So, okay, so that, so I'm thinking about 300,000.
So,
isn't there also
what are you thinking, Brian? Do you?
I mean, I don't want to be inspired. If you're not ready, I just thought that if you have all the information, you can
give us a wild. That's just a wild
guess. Yes. Okay, all right.
But because the question behind my question was, and this is rhetorical, we don't have to really even discuss.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivation 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.